Blog Talk Radio.
Friday, people. I am your host, Raz Williams. Can We Talk Fridays is back in the building. And we're getting ready for another exciting show tonight, guys. And, you know, I'm pretty excited today because we have I checked the stats of our show, and we're up to now 11,000 listeners strong. And I'm pretty excited about that. It means that what we have to say is relevant, it's helping somebody, and it's giving somebody something to think about. But most importantly, people are paying attention to what we're saying, and so I just want to thank you guys for listening. Keep supporting the show. We really appreciate what you guys are doing as far as supporting us. And, you know, just we're going to keep coming with some really relevant topics for you guys. So I just want to say a big shout-out to all the listeners out there, you know, supporters of Can We Talk Radio. Listen, guys, tonight's going to be a hot topic. I really want as many people as possible to call into the show to agree or to disagree. It doesn't matter. So, guys, the number to call in is 347-945-7310. That number, again, is 347-945-7310. I want to introduce my co-host tonight for this evening, and I want to introduce, of course, Alicia Cheney's in the building. Alicia, how you doing?
Doing good, Raz. How are you?
Oh, man. It's been a good week. It's been a little challenging, however, but it's been a blessed week, though. How about you?
Good week as well. Yeah, busy week, working right up until the show starts, but hey, that's the way it happens sometimes, but good week overall.
Absolutely, Alicia. Hey, did you go watch Man of Steel?
You always put me on the spot. I have not watched Man of Steel, but I'm still trying to get, what was the other movie, Tyler Perry's Temptation? I'm so sorry to say that I really have not even had a chance to check that out. But you know what I did watch? I don't know if I told you guys, I got a chance to see Will Smith's movie, After Earth. So I have at least seen one movie.
Okay. Well, everybody give her a, you know what, Ronnie, that deserves a round of applause. Hold on a second. She gets a round of applause. Going to a movie. Going to a blue movie.
Aren't you so funny. Thank you. Speaking of funny, you know what? I have a joke for you guys today.
Oh, wow. Okay. You know what? We're going to decide. We're going to let the audience decide if you're going to get a boo or a clap. So go ahead, Alicia. Take it away.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So here's the joke. All right. Why did 6 hate 7?
Say that one more time. Why did 6 eat 7?
Why did the number 6 hate 7?
I have no idea why.
Because 7 ate 9.
Okay.
I thought I would share it with you guys.
Wow, that was cool. Like, Ronnie, should we take it to the audience and see what they have to say about what her joke was, how they felt her joke was good or not?
Whatever.
All right, let me hear what the crowd says. Hold on a second, Alicia. We're gonna ask the crowd. Hold on 1 second.
Were they booing or were they cheering?
They were. It sounded like they were booing. Lonnie, did you hear that?
Oh, I thought they loved it.
Oh, man. How are you going to do me like that? Have them booing on my joke. I thought my joke was pretty good.
I did, too. But, I mean, I can't go against the crowd. I mean, shoot.
I wonder anyways, who is the crowd. We need to judge. Okay, if you say so.
But that was a good attempt.
I'll try again
I like the joke first. All right, that's good. That's good. Absolutely. Good to have you back on the show, Alicia. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, and looking forward to what you have to say tonight. Just out of curiosity, what do you think about tonight's topic?
It's a hot topic. I'll say it that way. It's a hot topic. It's a timely topic. And it's good that it's being addressed because I really hope that tonight's conversation really sheds light on what does God say, because that's what really matters the most.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my thoughts.
Absolutely. Next, I think we have on the line Nikki. Nikki's back from last week. Nikki is the second time on the Can We Talk Radio. How you doing, Nikki?
I'm fine. How you guys doing?
Good.
Hello, can you
Nikki,
hear me?
Yeah, we can. Nikki, how you doing? Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Absolutely. So, Nikki, have you had a good week? How you been?
It's been busy. It's been good, but it's been busy. Anytime you out there, you know, making money the right way, it's good.
Absolutely. Now, Nikki, last week was your first actual time on Can We Talk Radio. What did you think of last week's show?
I actually thought it was a great experience. I like the whole setup. It's comfortable. It's almost like just sitting around like a coffee table with friends and just, you know, throwing around conversation.
Absolutely. So let me ask you, Nikki, what do you think of tonight's topic?
I, like Alicia, I do agree. It's a very hot topic, but it does need to be addressed. I think it's time that us as believers start being more vocal about the things that are against how we believe instead of just, you know, being quiet on subjects that are too controversial.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Nikki, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show again. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I want to introduce my last co-host, Mr. Ronnie Ambrose, is back in the building. How you doing, sir?
How you doing? It's good to be back.
Blessed, man. We're doing good. Awesome, man. So, Ronnie, man, what do you think about our stats right now? We're up to 11,000 listeners of our podcast. What do you think about that?
I think it's great, and I just hope that it's being helpful, and, you know, any criticisms or, you know, anything we can do to help or any topics anybody would want to hear, you know, I just hope that you guys take advantage of the communication, the email, and the number, and just, you know, let us be of service to you. But I'm thankful for the numbers.
Absolutely. And that's a good point, guys. If you have a topic that you want to discuss, a topic that's on your mind, that you really want us to maybe create a whole show on, you can email us at canwetalkradio1@hotmail.com. That is canwetalkradio1@gmail.com. And, guys, the number to call in tonight is 347-945-7310. That number, again, is 347-945-7310. Now, Ronnie, man, let me ask you, what do you think of tonight's topic? Okay, looks like we dropped Ronnie. All right, he'll probably call back in. Well, okay, guys. Well, let's get into tonight's show. We're going to get Ronnie back in a second. What I did want to get into is actually, hold on. I think we have Ronnie back here again. Hello, Ronnie.
Yep, I'm back. I don't know what happened.
We got you back. Okay. Yeah. Okay, man. I was asking you, man. What do you think of tonight's topic, bro?
I think it's you know, I agree with so far. It's a little racy because it's not being discussed, and I'm looking forward to addressing it in a way that the body of Christ will be comfortable with helping people to the truth, because I'm coming to see that a lot of people don't know what the Bible actually says about homosexuality, or why would a believer, you know, have the nerve to say what the Bible says to you. It's, you know, most of it is our duty, and the other part of it is to help the person to the truth. So I'm looking forward to this dialogue, you know, revealing either ways or, you know, the nature of the situation so that people can feel that they can talk about it without thinking that they're condemning anybody. So I'm looking forward to some helpful things coming out of this conversation.
Absolutely. Well put, Mr. Wally. All right, guys. Well, if you guys are just listening in for the first time or you're just tuning in, first of all, you can call us at 347-945-7310. 347-945-7310. If you're shy, then you can email us at canwetalkradio1@gmail.com. Well, guys, let's get into today's topic. Well, here's the thing. The recent Supreme Court's ruling that struck down the Defense of Marriage Act, and that kind of compelled me to discuss today's topic. What does God say about same-sex marriage? We know for a fact that God has an opinion about homosexuality. And we also know that God has an opinion about marriage. So it's really not that difficult to determine how God must feel about same-sex marriage. But a lot of people don't really know, like Lonnie said, what the Bible has to say. So we're going to be talking about what God has to say. We know what the world has to say. We know what the Supreme Court has to say. We know what the advocates of homosexuality have to say. But does that truly matter? We're going to go, as believers of Jesus Christ, we're going to go to the person that created the standard of life, and that's God. So we're really going to get into this topic tonight and really find out what does God have to say about homosexual same-sex marriage. There's a couple of questions that I really want to get into, and I first want to define with the panel tonight, I want to define what is marriage. Then I want to define what is same-sex marriage. And then I want to ask the question, why does God detest same-sex marriage? And I want to ask another question as well, if we have enough time tonight, is same-sex marriage really marriage? And another thing that really interested me was that I want to find out from you, the listeners, and from the panel tonight, is the world becoming more heterophobic? We all hear about people being homophobic, but it seems like now that heterosexuality is under attack. So I want to talk about that. So, guys, can we talk? So, anyway, I think we have some news, Mr. Whiney. What we have going on?
I got a little news pertaining to our topic. And, hello?
We're here.
Okay. Yeah, the news tonight is just one little article pertaining to the topic. It was on the Christian Post, and it starts off with Barack Obama dialed direct from Air Force One during an MSNBC live segment to congratulate the plaintiffs who challenged California's Prop 8 amendment that defined marriage in heterosexual terms. The Supreme Court voted Thursday against having the voter-approved amendment reinstated after it was struck down in 2010. Obama called the cell phone of Chad Griffin of the Human Rights Campaign during an appearance on MSNBC Thursday morning to thank them. You know, their conversation was televised, and it was quoted that the president says, we're proud of you guys, and we're proud to have this in California, meaning, you know, approval of same-sex. So your president approves of same-sex marriage in California, and the president also said, according to a video, and it's because of your leadership, things are headed in the right way. So you guys should be very proud today. These are quotes from the president. Another quote is, I hope you have a great celebration, added President Obama. And so the president, that's just pretty much, you know, for more details, you can go to Christian Post online and see the story. And so I just brought this up because this week the immigration reform bill also passed. And I don't think anyone in the immigration reform movement got a direct call from the president to be televised to show his support to the whole nation. And so, you know, I believe that's a double standard, and it implies an agenda. And so, you know, I just want to leave it at that and pass it around. You know, like Alicia, the president calls. As soon as the people come out of court, this call is made, like, on the steps of the courthouse. You know, it's just layered in all kinds of drama and social coercing, I guess. But you got any viewpoint on it?
Yeah, it's interesting. As soon as you started talking about the president's phone call to the plaintiffs, the first thing I thought about is how he also called Jason Collins, if you recall, a few weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago, he was the first NBA player who came out as being openly gay in any professional sport. And so he called him to also basically the same thing, congratulate him. And so it made me think about that same phone call that he made to him. And I guess it shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody where our president's agenda or where his support is, because even before he was elected, he had already said that he supported gay marriage. And so it just lets us know where his support is and what he stands behind as a president. And so it does make you, as a Christian, really think and examine who we begin to put into office, because the people that we elect into office are going to support the platforms up on which they stand. And that's why it's so important to know, what does that person represent? Because they say they are a Christian, or because they say, you know, I'm part of this party, what do you really stand behind? And so I would just say, what this shows us as a nation, what have you, what our president represents.
Wow. So, Nikki, I just want to ask you, do you think it doesn't matter, or does it make no difference that in the same week, in something that affects society, that the president took his time out to call the gay sex winners, I mean, the gay marriage winners, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be funny, but that the president took his time to publicly lift up the winners that oppose heterosexual marriage and totally ignored the people that have been fighting for immigration rights? Like, do you think that matters, or is it just nothing?
No, I think it absolutely matters. Just like Alicia said, it shows where his agenda is and what he's about. And for him to have publicly stated on numerous occasions that he was a believer, that he was a Christian, that move right there is contradictory to what we believe. So once again, that tells you that everyone who says they're a follower of Christ is not. You know what I mean? I mean, it's completely wicked. And just like Raz said in his opening, it seems like now the abnormal population are heterosexuals. So it's just showing that our world is going in such a wicked direction, you know, to where believers do need to stand up, because the Bible gives us the answer to all of this. It says that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. It's like, we're not praying. We're talking about it, you know, but how many of us are really getting together in droves just like they are? Because the homosexual population is not, I think it's like 1% or 2%, but why are they having such a big impact on how the world is, you know, the outlook of our world now? So that's where I stand on it.
Wow. Well, I agree. Raz, you got anything to add to the, you know, any dialogue about the little news that we heard, the fact that the president, you know, went out of his way out of his busy schedule to you know, let the world see that, you know, this is the way to go.
I have one thing to say. Western society seems to be heading down the same path as Sodom and Gomorrah. And, woo, man, I agree with Alicia and I agree with Nikki. And, you know, Mr. Obama, when he was trying to get his votes, he positioned himself as a believer, as a Christian, somebody who represented and stood and lived his life in accordance with the with godly principles. But as we're seeing now, that was nothing but a ruse to deceive, bamboozle, to lie to us to get our votes. I didn't vote for him anyway, so. But the point of the matter is that it's very devastating to see that to see this, in the sense that, you know, I mean, just be real, Mr. Obama. If that's what you stand up for, then just be real. Just keep it real and stop. Don't lie to people, man. Don't lie to, and all these passes that are standing up for Mr. Obama, you should be ashamed of yourself. That's my comment.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and plus, you know, before it seems like this is we're dealing with the government system. You know, I believe whoever would be in place would have to play the same role. And so, you know, it is a shame that the brother did go into congregations and put on a Christian facade. And, you know, a lot of people fell for it. And a lot of blacks in general just went with it just because he was black without, you know, looking beneath the surface to find the truth. But, yeah, so that's about it. That's the news, you know, and I just hope this brings an awareness to where, you know, your government as a whole, your leadership that you vote into office, the system that they're part of, has nothing to do with the Bible, and we need to just, you know, get in our word so that we're not misled. So, but that's the news.
Good job, Mr. Wania. Thank you very much for that news. Listen, guys, I just want to just put this out there, like, you know, if you're listening and if you're a homosexual, look, we're not coming against you. We are not. I repeat, we are not. But what we're here to do, we're here to represent what Christ, you know, died on the cross for. We're here to represent what godly principles are. I mean, you may get some of those weak-minded people out there who say they're Christians, but that say do completely the opposite. But we're here to represent Christ. We're not here to gain friends, even though we're not here to hate nobody. We're here to love you. But at the same time, it's like this. If you go to a car manufacturer, you buy a Honda, and then you try to use that Honda for something else than what it was intended for, and the manufacturer is going to tell you, no, this is what it was designed for. Use it this way. All we're saying is that marriage was designed this way. So with that said, I want to discuss the first question. Actually, let's define what marriage is. Before we discuss anything else, I want to define what is marriage, and I'm going to ask that to Alicia, and I'm going to bounce it around to everyone else. So, Alicia, can we define marriage, please?
What is marriage? Marriage is a union that God created between one man and one woman, and when you think about what it talks about in Genesis, when it describes that a man shall leave his mother and father's house and cleave unto his wife, that's literally the first example or description of marriage when we look in the New Testament, and it talks about a man and a woman. And then also it goes on to discuss how, you know, they should be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. So to answer your specific question, what is marriage? It was an institution that God created to basically between a man and a woman to repopulate the entire earth. So I guess that would be a very brief nutshell version of it.
Absolutely. And Nikki, how would you define marriage?
I would define it the exact same way. It's like marriage was designed between male and female to procreate. I mean, that's exactly what it was for. It's like God said that he found that it wasn't good for man to be alone, so therefore he created woman, but he created them not just to be in company of one another, but to be a helpmeet to one another, and also to, you know, procreate and populate.
Absolutely. You know, guys, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve or Eve or Eva. He created a man and a woman. We can just look in, you know, below the waist and see, you know, the parts, the biological parts that are designed for procreation. So really and truly, if everybody was homosexual, then what happens to the human race? So anyway, Ronnie, what do you have to say about that?
No, well, like I said, for your question, marriage was established. If you look at Genesis, when the father told Adam, you know, go and count all the creatures on the earth. You know, basically he was telling him, take a look at all these creatures on the earth, right? And in that same paragraph, it said that no suitable match was found for Adam amongst anything that was on the world except when the woman was born for him. And so this right here does more than imply that the union, the only way that God's will is done as far as the roles that were created to fulfill, it's done through man and woman together becoming one and producing children. So that's marriage.
Absolutely, guys. We have a caller real quick from the 562 area code. Caller from the 562 area code. Are you there? What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello.
Hello. Caller from the 562 area code. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Dewan, and I'm calling from Corona, California.
How you doing, Dewan? Do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I have a comment. I just joined you guys. I just heard the very tail end, but the part that I did hear, I have a passion for, because I listen to the radio, KZLH, a lot, and it seemed like they're pumping up gay marriages. You know, I work around a lot of people that are gay, so I really don't have nothing against gay people, but I'm like the rest of you. I don't think that God agrees with that, and I think, I know he don't. I feel like it's an abomination to God, and the more I watch television, the more I listen to radio and the internet, they're pumping it up and they're making it seem like it's the thing to do, first of all. And the second thing is, from my understanding, from when I was listening to my 107.9 one day, they were actually saying that they have a book that they're putting in the schools for our little babies, our kindergartners, our first graders to read. And that us as parents don't have a say-so in whether or not they get to read that book. And I think that's just terrible.
Absolutely.
So basically, that's my comment.
Well, Dewana, we thank you for your comment, and thank you for listening to Can We Talk. You know, guys, Dewana said something very important. They're slipping things underneath the radar into the school curriculum for little kids. And this is an attempt to, I think, to hijack their minds, reprogram them from a very young age so they can grow up to accept anything they throw at them. And this, to me, is a very dangerous thing. So I want to get into that a little later on, but I want to get into my next point is, I now want to define what marriage is and what God intended marriage to be. Now, I want to define what same-sex marriage is, and I want to pose this question to Ronnie. Ronnie, how would you define same-sex marriage?
Okay. I'm not defining same-sex marriage on natural terms, because I just want to make it clear, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against homosexuals. We're wrestling against the unseen forces, and we're wrestling against the consequences that come along when you tamper with what God has established. And so in that context, same-sex marriage is something that opposes God's will, because it's God's will that men and female be fruitful and multiply. by being in union with each other. So when you eliminate God's, when you put an obstruction to God's will, you actually serve the enemy's plan. And so, like I said, what we want for every human being is that they enter into eternal life through the Son. And so, until that happens, you know, if you're following the course of this world, you're actually going against God, being used by Satan to go against God's plan. And that's what same-sex marriage facilitates.
Absolutely. Good point. Alicia, I want to pose the same question to you.
What is same-sex marriage?
Yeah, how would you define same-sex marriage?
Well, when you look at what the world... I'm sorry, what did you say?
No, I was just about to say that I know it seems very simple in the title itself, same-sex, but, I mean, let's just define that, break it down. What does that truly mean?
Well, what I would say, based upon what we're seeing played out in the media society, basically it is the opportunity for two people of the same sex, homosexuals, two females, two males, to unite in something beyond just a partnership. It's an opportunity to say we are committed to each other for the duration of, it should be, the way God defined marriage, eternity. So I would say their intention is to commit to one another, someone of the same sex, for as long as they should both live. When you think about the fact that they're going through marriage vows and all of those different things, that lets you know that it's their intention, with, as most marriage vows, to say we are going to be together till death do us part. So when I think of same-sex marriage, it's an opportunity for two people, two males, two females, to be able to make an eternal or lifelong commitment to each other.
Absolutely. Here's my comment, guys. Calling something marriage does not necessarily make it marriage. Marriage has always been a covenant between a man and a woman, which is by nature ordered toward the procreation and the education of children and the unity and well-being of spouses and family. My issue is that the promoters of same-sex marriage propose something entirely different from what I just mentioned. They propose a union between two men or two women. Now, this clearly denies the self-evident biological, physiological, and psychological and spiritual differences between men and women, which find their complementary union in marriage. It also denies the primary purpose of marriage, which is the perpetuation of the human race and the raising of children. So, if there is same-sex marriage, we're raising children, we're denying a child to grow up in a household with a mother and a father. I think that's very confusing. Nikki, what do you think on the comment?
Well, I feel like the same thing. I feel like same-sex marriage, and first of all, that same-sex attraction, should I say, by them, they want to be accepted, and they want to make it like it's okay. And by them trying to take the covenant and having vows before God, they're trying to say God loves us too, like it's okay. But as believers who know our word and stand by our word and don't try to alter our word, know that that's an abomination to the Father. It's a stench in his nostrils. And then if you want to go a little bit deeper than that and look at it on the spiritual aspect, well, the author of all perversion and confusion is Satan. And Satan has always hated the human race. He's always hated the fact that we procreate. He's always hated the fact that we were able to be forgiven, something that he can't do. He can't make life. He can't create life. He can never be forgiven. So therefore, it's like, what better way? I mean, he did it. He was able to pervert the human race way back in Noah's day. He's done it time and time again to where, you know, God had to, you know, basically scrap the situation and say, hey, let's start over with a new set of people. And so it's very satanic, and it's nothing but Satan deceiving at his best the people who do have same-sex attraction, and by saying that if a minister marries us and if we take our vows before God, then it's okay because God loves everybody. God loves people, but he hates the sin. So.
Absolutely. That's a very good point. Excellent point there, Nikki. Here's one of my other issues with this whole same-sex marriage and this whole movement. I've noticed a lot of homosexual activists argue that same-sex marriage is a civil rights issue, similar to the struggle for racial equality in the 1960s. To me, this is false. First of all, sexual behavior and race are essentially different realities. A man and a woman wanting to marry may be different in their characteristics. One may be black, the other may be white, but one rich, the other poor, or one tall, the other short. None of these differences are insurmountable obstacles to marriage. The two individuals are still man and woman, and thus the requirements of nature are respected. Same-sex marriage opposes nature, in my opinion. Two individuals of the same sex, regardless of their race, wealth, stature, or fame, will never be able to marry because of an insurmountable biological impossibility. So, Wani, I want to ask you this, man. How do you feel about this whole imbalanced analogy that homosexual marriage or homosexuality is akin to race equality of the civil rights movement?
Yeah, I've heard the, you know, gay is the new black, and you can go online and find that T-shirt, but really it's weak because at the end of the day, and even at the beginning of the day, if you're a girl and you think you're a guy, and you know that your employer wants you to present yourself as a woman, whether you're homosexual or not, because you're a girl, you can always come off as a girl. Me, I can't hide being black. I can't paint myself. I can't, like, there's no throwing you off from seeing that I'm black. And so just in that context, it's not the same thing. And, you know, I know a lot of people say that they're born that way. I believe there's something that you're fighting. I believe there's something that, you know, that may have caused this to be the lifestyle that you've chosen, but I can't just turn off and on being black. So it just can't be the same.
Absolutely. Alicia, what do you have to say about that last comment I made?
Well, Ronnie really summed it up really well, and I think he probably speaks for a lot of people out there, a lot of African Americans, in the same regard that comparing the two are like comparing apples and oranges. And so I would just really go to what he said because it just honestly sums up, you know, what it looks like. I mean, you can't look at one and compare it to the other. I think because both, I think when you're talking about the challenges that some homosexuals have experienced, they feel like they've been slighted. And so in that regard, or haven't been treated fairly. And so as a result, they're saying, well, they're relating it to the civil rights movement where we as African Americans, you know, were denied rights because of our color, because of the color of our skin. And so I guess that's the point that they're coming from. But just like Ronnie was mentioning, you can't really compare the two because when you look at us as African Americans, it's different talking about somebody's race as opposed to somebody's decision regarding sexual orientation.
Absolutely. Good point. Okay, guys, listen, if you guys are tuning in for the first time, we're talking about how does God feel about homosexual same-sex marriage? And the number to call in, guys, is 347-945-7310. The number again is 347-945-7310. We want as many people as possible to call in. If you agree or disagree, you know, we want to hear from you. We want to discuss this and hear what your opinion is. So I want to go to our next question for this topic. Is I want to kind of break down why God really detests same-sex marriage. Why does God have an issue with same-sex marriage? So I want us to really break this down so people understand that why God has a problem with this. What is his standard for life? So I want to start with you, Lonnie. What would you tell the people listening right now who perhaps are not Christians or maybe Christians and really don't really know what God has to say about this topic, but they may know that he may not like it, but, I mean, let's just break this down as basically as we possibly can and let people know why God has a problem with this.
Well, the thing is that it's written in the Scripture why the Father has a problem with it. We can start with, like we said in Genesis, that, you know, he created man and a female to be fruitful and multiply. So he would have a problem with it because if I put two women on an island, they can't be fruitful and multiply. And so that goes against his command. It's a perpetual command, meaning it's supposed to happen and it's going to continue to happen because he said it and he wills it. And if you want to go against it, you're going against God. And another reason why I would say, like, if we look at Romans 24, and it shows that, you know, the Father clearly states that, you know, it's unnatural. It's a vile passion of disgrace. That's what he calls it in Romans. Romans is considered a vile passion of disgrace to ignore the functions, for a man to ignore the natural function of a woman and for a woman to go after and ignore, you know, what she was created for. So in Romans 1, I believe it's 24, he calls it a vile passion of disgrace. It's deemed as immoral. And, you know, these are the words of the Bible given to us by God, letting it be known that it's totally opposed.
That's it. Absolutely. Good point, Marty. I had some scriptures that I wrote down, and I want to kind of run these by you guys. I want to forward your attention to Genesis 19, chapters 1 to 14, where the passage from the Old Testament describes the mob in Sodom as an evil group of men who wanted to have relations with the men of Lot's family. And those were, I think they're referring to the angels that came to take Lot out of the city with his family. These men appeared to be so physically attractive that the men of that city wanted to have relationships with these homosexual relations with these men. And 2 Peter 2, chapter 2, 6, verses 6 to 10, Peter describes that God condemns the city of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example. Peter clarifies that the fact that homosexual men of Sodom are under the judgment of God for their corrupt desire to indulge the flesh. And it's not just that these men were condemned because they wanted to rape Lot's family, but it's that these men wanted to have sex with other men. And Jude describes this as desire as unnatural. Jude verse 7 describes Sodom and Gomorrah as well. Leviticus 18:22 says, "You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination." Leviticus 20:13, "If there is a man who lies with a male as those who lie with a woman, both of them have committed a detestable act. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them." Romans 1, chapter 1, 26-27, "For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged their natural functions for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error." 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, you know, shall inherit the kingdom of God. So there's a lot of scriptures here, guys, that really supports how God really feels about you know, homosexuality and how he feels about marriage. And then we can put the two together, how he feels about same-sex marriage. So, Alicia, what do you think about those scriptures?
Those scriptures pack a powerful punch, and one thing makes very clear where God stands on this issue, and it very clearly shows you the heart of God, what he created and his intention. The whole purpose of the Bible was to give us, man, creation, the heart of God. It's his will, and so it shows us how we should live our life on this earth. And so when you listen to scriptures like that, it really reflects the heart of God, because that's him expressing his will concerning a particular area. So when you're bringing up scriptures that talk about, you know, homosexuality being an abomination, or different things that homosexuals lying together, it being an unnatural act, it's showing us that God created us, one, in his image, and that there was a natural design to the way that he created us, which was a man to be with a woman and us to be able to naturally procreate. So even if you look at our bodies and line them up, they are intended to fit succinctly together, not when you put, you know, two women together or two men. And so when you do that, that's what God is saying is unnatural. And just even looking at the design of a male and a female, you can see what he's meaning by it being unnatural, because two men can't do the same thing two women or a woman and a man can do, or vice versa. So it just really lets us know clearly where the Bible stands on this situation.
Absolutely, good point. Hey, guys, we have a caller from the 301 area code. Hello, caller from the 301 area code. How you doing? What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, guys. This is Sonia Shree, and hopefully everyone's doing well.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Hello. We can hear you.
Hi. Okay, good.
Hi.
I'm calling because it's interesting, because in the state of Maryland during the last election, we had to vote for marriage equality. And I struggled with that vote. And I eventually voted yes. And I voted yes for this reason. I find that I was liberal very growing up, and I thought that nothing was wrong with homosexuality. But as I get older, I have to stand by what the Word of God says, and he says it's wrong. But I also think that salvation is a personal decision, and God is going to do the judging, and I can't do the judging. And when it comes to same-sex marriage, even though I don't personally agree with it, legally, marriage is a contract with the state. We can get married in a church, but if we don't file a marriage license, our marriage is not considered valid. So I can't say that my marriage is, if I get married and have a marriage license and get married in a church and have the preacher sign off on the license and present it to the courts, and my marriage is valid, I can't deny someone else that opportunity to have the same contract with the state that I have, because I personally do not believe in their relationship.
Okay. This is Sonia Shari?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Sonia, what's up? I didn't know it was you. You sound like somebody else, man. You're trying to trick us, huh?
No, I'm calling from my Skype phone because the online feed went out, so I had to call in to listen to the show.
Okay. Well, that's a good point, Sonia. I respect what you're saying. Here's my issue with that, Sonia, is that what they're attempting to do is to reduce marriage to a earthly-based, legalistic type of contractual arrangement. But what we're saying here is that the relationship between a man and a woman, marriage, is God-given. It's not just natural. It is God-given. Therefore, God has said that the union between men and women is focused on reproduction, child-rearing, and creating families. And what God is saying is that homosexual same-sex marriage completely violates why he created marriage to begin with. If God, in his infinite intelligence, was truly trying to, if he thought that same-sex marriage was the right way to go, I'm sure that he would have put that in his word. So but what the Supreme Court is doing, what the homosexual agenda are doing, are taking God out of the equation and saying this is what we want as men, and that's the mistake. So, Ronnie, I want to ask you, what do you think about Tanya's comment?
No, I understand where she's coming from, and I wanted to bring up the fact that she said salvation, it is an individual thing, and this is not a condemnation thing. And tell you the truth, it's not like homosexuality just popped up this week. And so the truth of the matter is we want to address the issue according to the biblical standard so that no one would forget that marriage is a covenant and not a contract according to the Bible. And I believe the Bible. And so no matter how it's presented to me, I'll never call it anything except a covenant given by God to humanity to reproduce and to do God's will. And so I'm not opposed to anybody. If that's where you are right now, you know, the door of salvation and the truth is just, it's like an open door. You can walk into it at any time. But until you have come into the truth according to the scripture, your marriage or what you consider a marriage is really not one. You know, you guys are together, you're performing the duties of a couple, but it's not what was established by the Father. And so, I understand if you voted with it, there's no need to wrestle about it. And this is not condemnation because salvation, I don't have salvation to give you. The Father has provided that, and that door is open for any gay, straight, anybody, you know, who wants to come into salvation, that door is open. But until you do, we're right now today addressing the fact that, according to the scripture, given to us by God, who established life, marriage is this way, a covenant between a man and a woman ordained by the Father. I mean, that's all, you know, it's like, I understand where she's coming from, how she voted. You know, there's no legislation that's going to be passed that's going to make everybody do right. And so, you know, I would still vote according to your true beliefs, though.
And that's a good point, Ronnie. And that's I've heard that argument before with Obama and his supporters is that you can't legislate somebody's heart. Even if you do pass a law, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So. And I think God is looking for a change of the heart versus just outward, obedience, which really is, and your heart is still wicked, so, or your heart is contrary to what he really is commanding in His Word. So, Nikki, what do you think about Sonia's comment, and what do you think about even though we, as some Christians, may disagree with same-sex marriage, but they choose to vote for agree with allowing same-sex couples to the freedom to be with each other.
Well, and for me, we as believers are supposed to be ambassadors for Christ. We are supposed to be here as an extension and to hold up what His Word says. There's no gray area there, and it doesn't have anything to do with. This is not an attack against Sonia. It's just something that she said. She said, "Who am I to tell these people thus and so?" Not just Sonia, but a lot of believers feel that way. Well, the thing is that who you are, if you're a believer, is someone who's supposed to stand up for the Word. And the Lord, the Bible says, that you have to be either hot or cold. You can't be lukewarm. So you can't say, I'm a believer, but this area of sin I'm going to excuse. It doesn't work like that. The Bible says if you're lukewarm, that the Lord will spew you out. And that's like the biggest issue. We don't have enough believers that have a backbone and say, you know, well, I'm going to stand up for what the Word says, regardless of the popularity of the world. Now, when we're talking about homosexuality, it's saying, okay, well, you know, they should be able to have certain rights because that's how they feel, blah, blah, blah. Okay, what about the man who decides that because you're my wife, it's my right, you're my property, and I can beat you and I can do whatever it is that I want to do with you? What if he decides that he feel like he has rights? I mean, that stuff was outlawed years ago. So why is some sin, and almost it's always the most perverse sin, that's like, okay, we're going with this now, you know, versus other things? Or what about that man who decides that, you know, he wants to have more than one wife? Why aren't we legalizing that all over the place? You know, so it's like, we have to really look at the real root of what the situation is. And the problem is that we don't have enough believers that are willing to say, I represent Christ, no ifs, ands, buts about it. And his word says this. And all the scriptures that you quoted, Raz, not only did it pack a powerful punch, but it told you, hands down, God feels like this, and who are we as humans to try to change what the Creator said? There was no, he didn't say that there was a gray area. He didn't even give us room to have a gray area. He said, this is how I feel, this is what's going to happen, and if you do this, 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 and this, then you're going to hell, as with any other sin. So, no, I don't have a heaven or hell to put anybody in, but God does, and his word says what it says. So that's how I feel about that.
Absolutely, that's a good point. I wanna go back to one of the other first guests, Dawana. Dawana, how do you feel about gay couples having the right to live with each other and to be married, even though you do not agree? I mean, what's your position on that?
Well, my position is that I don't think they should have a right. That's not a right that God gave them, so I don't feel like they should have a right. And by them not being able to do that, I don't think anything is being violated. Because, like you guys were saying earlier, it's not about Adam and Adam, and it's not about Eve and Eva. It's male and female. And I don't believe that people are born that way. I really believe, and I have asked some gay people why they were gay. And the two that I did talk to, that was their thing, like, even when they was little, before they knew what it was, they wanted to be with somebody of the same sex. I don't know. I think something happened to them. I do believe that when a male gets molested, it seems like 99.9% of the time they might turn towards the same sex. And I feel that the reason that is because they feel confused, especially if that was their first sexual encounter. They really don't know where they fit in, how to feel, and they just don't feel like they're normal males. That's what I believe. And for a female, you find that I know a lot of females who have been molested, and some of them are gay. And I think because of the trauma that they experience, they turn away from males, you know, not realizing that not everyone is the same, and it may never be a repeat of what happened. So I'm just totally against it.
Okay, guys. I appreciate that comment, Dawana. Listen, we have a caller from the by the name of Tyler, and I wanna welcome Tyler to the Family Talk Radio. Where you calling from? What's your comment?
Hey there. I just wanted to talk about, you know, my past and how I was raised and how it affected me.
So Tyler, I can hardly hear you. Can you speak up, please, sir?
Yeah, I just I wanted to talk about, you know, how I was raised and you know, some of the things that happened to me growing up as a gay Christian, you know.
So Tyler, are you a Christian?
I am.
Okay, and are you also a gay, Kylo, or are you a heterosexual, or what's your sexual orientation? Don't mind me asking.
I love men. I love God and I love men. I've gotten a lot of flack for that, you know, just in the church, you know, my parents, you know, it was just really hard, liking even the men of God, you know, it's really hard, you know, growing up like that in a church that's just so judging, and, you know, it's not something you can help, you know.
Right. So, Tyler, let me ask you, do you feel that, do you feel unfairly treated by Christians in the church or unfairly judged because of your sexual preference?
Yes, I would say so, definitely. There's a select few that, you know, just don't care. I feel it from the body of Christ a lot, you know. They just kind of reject my lifestyle, and, you know, I don't think it's that bad. But the body of Christ is just upset, you know.
Okay. That's a good point. So, Natal, let me ask you a question. You heard, I don't know if you were listening to all of the show, but we did describe some scriptures in the Bible that God, what God's position of, you know, same-sex attraction, homosexuality is. How do you feel about what the scripture that we talked about as far as God's position, what he thinks about homosexuality and same-sex marriage?
Well, you know, I didn't really catch that. I just kind of tuned in. I saw your show, and it was kind of relevant to my answers.
Okay, awesome. Well, Tyler, we thank you for your comment, and please keep listening to Can We Talk Radio. Alicia, what do you think about Tyler's comment?
It was difficult for me to hear part of the conversation, so I can't really address everything that he was saying. What I would just say in general is that, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of people who are in Tyler's situation where they find themselves struggling or having feelings for the same sex and at the same time saying they love God. And what I would say in that sort of situation, just like you were bringing up the scriptures that clearly showed where God stands on certain issues, is that I would really just go back to the Word of God and seek the heart of God. And as you do, begin to allow him to shed light and reveal to you those things that you need to understand regarding the struggle that you find yourself in. I'm not in his shoes, so I can't even begin to understand the challenge that's expressed or that, you know, someone may be going through in that. But the Bible, as we've already stated, is very clear where God stands. And so one of the things that I do think about is the scripture that says in John that Jesus is saying that if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And so just like I may, you know, not feel like doing this, or even if we talk about, you know, people who are just having sex outside of marriage, you know, not talking homosexuals, but just people having sex outside of marriage, you know, when you even start looking at those sort of scenarios, the Word of God says that when you love me, you're going to obey me. And so when we love God, even if the feelings that we may have in our heart are contrary to the Word of God, we have to learn how to, you know, go to God and say, Lord, I'm wrestling with this, and I need help or deliverance in this particular area. Because at the end of the day, God, as I said, makes clear to us that our love is tied to our obedience to what he's expressed. So we basically need to submit whatever our thoughts, our desires are to what the Word of God is saying.
Absolutely. And that's an excellent point, Alicia. Guys, the phone lines are blowing up. I see you, Dante. I see you, Johnny, and we're going to get to you guys as well. I want to quickly go to a caller from the 661 area code number. 661 area code, how you doing? Where are you calling from?
Hello. Hey, this is John from New Jersey calling.
Hey, John, where are you calling from?
From New Jersey.
Oh, hey, John. Thanks for calling Can We Talk Radio. Do you have a question or comment for the panel?
Yeah, I would just like to add in, over the last summer, I had the chance to run a youth Christian group. I was one of the group leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, there were some gay youth, but we found a great way how to convert them to Christianity.
Okay, let's do that.
Well, basically, when they fell asleep, we would basically just go rape them in the ass.
Say that one more time.
When the youth were asleep, we would come in and rape them in the ass.
Okay. We got a cycle on our hands, right? Okay, so we're going to go to the next caller.
okay, I have a Johnny from the Johnny B calling. Thanks for calling. Can We Talk Radio? Do you have a question or comment?
I'm a homosexual person myself, and I'm in a I'm in a homosexual relationship with my friend Dante, and me and my my lover, we've been looking through the Bible ourselves, and we realized that God does say, you know, love thy neighbor as one of the Ten Commandments. And I believe that the Ten Commandments being handed down to us is one of the most important parts of founding society on these laws. I believe that this should come over possibly other religious scriptures, and for this reason, I believe that niggers.
I don't mean to interrupt you, Johnny. I need you to speak a little clearer. I'm detecting a Scottish accent by the sounds of it, but could you speak a little louder and a little bit slower so we can hear what you're saying?
God does say love thy neighbor, and if my neighbor does so happen to be a man, I should be free to love him.
I'm sorry, Johnny, you said if love, I heard the part of love thy neighbor. What was the other part after that?
And if my neighbor or my lover in this respect is a man, I should be free to love my neighbor.
You should be free to love your neighbor. Is that what you said?
Yes. To put it in context, if my lover is a man and my lover is my neighbor, I should be free to love my neighbor. Do unto others as you would have done unto you, for example.
Okay.
And
well, Johnny,
okay.
Go ahead.
And my neighbor loves unto me.
I think that's another prank call, bro.
Yeah, we
yeah,
got a lot of cycles on
okay.
our hands. We're just calling
yeah.
to be facetious. Yeah. I can see that.
Let me address what was. Okay, go
ahead.
Go ahead, Alicia.
Oh,
yeah.
I was just going to respond to what he was saying, and I think what he was stating was that if the Word of God says that I should love my neighbor, if my neighbor happens to be a man, then I should be allowed to love my neighbor. And the Word of God, once again, you have to go back to, one, don't take scripture out of context, but also look at what does the Word of God define as love. It clearly breaks down what is love. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, love doesn't think any wrong of its neighbor. Love, you know, it breaks down exactly what love is. So to respond to that young man, yes, love your neighbor as yourself and do it according to God's biblical design, which is be patient with your neighbor, be kind to your neighbor, don't judge your, you know, all those sort of characteristics that are outlined. So if you want to break that scripture out and say, if my neighbor is a man, sure, do it according to God's outline, which is be patient with that person. The world has misinterpreted love to in some sort of physical means when God intended it to be how you treat a person. So that's how I will respond to that particular comment.
Good point. You know why we have a lot of crank calls today, a lot of psychos calling? Because the devil's angry. Anytime when Christ was on the earth and he was preaching truth, here came Satan to try to convolute what Christ was saying. You see, you can always tell when we're hitting the right note, guys, because the devil's angry and he's sending these crank callers to try to confuse the show, but to no avail. We have a caller from the 216 area code number. Hello, caller. From the 216 area code number. And if you are a psycho, you will be eliminated from the phone. So what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Am I on the air?
You are 216 area code. What's your name? Where are you calling from, sir?
My name is Steven. I'm from Brook Park, Ohio.
Okay, Steven, do you have a question or comment for the panel?
I'm not a psycho, but I do know of those psychos. I was actually talking to my friend. He's the one who linked me to this site, but I'm not calling to troll or to mess with you in any way. I just I'm straight myself. Proud to be straight. I'm not gay. I have no problem with gay people, though. See, but what my main is, why does it matter if other people love other people?
Would you like to respond to that question?
Sorry, what was that?
Yeah, you were asking why does it matter if other people love other people of the same sex?
Well, why does it matter to you, to anyone who, not me, but say I loved another male, why does it matter to you? Why does it matter to anyone?
Okay, and your name again was Steven?
Yeah.
Okay, Steven, thanks for calling Can We Talk Radio. Well, did you just catch the beginning of the show? Are you just started listening, or?
No, I've been listening for about 20 minutes. I think 20 minutes.
Okay.
It's been a while.
Okay. Bye. Well, Steven, this show is from a biblical perspective, and we're here to represent what God, why God.
I'm Catholic.
Okay.
I'm Catholic myself.
Okay.
I'm proudly religious,
so,
actually.
Oh, you are? Okay. All right. So check this out, Steven. I'm going to ask you a question.
What's up?
This show is from a godly perspective. We talk mm-hmm. about what God represents in his word, which is his Bible. What God hates, we're going to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
What God likes, we're going to talk about the same thing. Now, what we're saying is that God clearly states in the Bible that same-sex marriage, amongst other human conditions, is wrong. So,
well, I've read a lot of.
Well, hold on.
I've read a lot of the things.
Hold on. If you're a Christian and you say you love God, and you cannot clearly be for homosexual marriage or homosexuality, period. So again, I think that's another crank caller guide, and you know we're not here to put up with that nonsense, but. At the same time, if you represent Christ, you can't be for things that are anti-Christ, point blank. Ronnie, do you have anything to say to Stephen?
I was saying, what does it matter? Okay, let's look at it like this. Spiritually, it matters because you're offending your Creator. And you're also going against the purpose the Father created humans the way he created them. It's their role in creation to be together, to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth with more people that are made in God's image. On another level, what it matters is when you get a youth who has no problem with gender, who understands they're comfortable with it, but when you get them in a society that offers them or actually tempts them into or entices them into trading in the truth for a lie, it affects the straight kid. It affects, the development of teenagers. And in fact, that's why it matters. It's because they're being exposed to something that's contrary to how they were created on this earth. And another way, what does it matter? If they really love, if we took it to the simplest context and said, here's how much it matters. If every gay person were to sit down and consider the fact that if their parents were gay, they would not be here. So it does matter. It does matter. Because it's given somebody a false sense of love, a false sense of marriage, a false sense of life. Why is it false? Not because it's not happening. It's false because spiritually it does not serve the Father. And so it does matter. I'm not saying be a gay basher. I'm not saying don't tolerate gays and don't give them water and don't let them live. But I am saying tell them the truth, though. That's
absolutely, Bonnie. Absolutely. And that's a good point. And it does matter because as Christians, we're here to, you know, one of the cycles that called in said about love thy neighbor. And by loving your neighbor, we are compelled to tell you the truth. That's what Christ told us to do. And that's part of loving you. And loving you is telling you where you're going wrong. And going down the path of homosexuality and gay marriage is completely wrong because it's against what God again, what God has stated in His Word. So, you know, as Christians, this show, of course, is from a biblical perspective, not from a worldly perspective. So we're here to spread the Word of God, and part of this topic is the Word of God. So, to answer your question, Stephen, this is why it matters, because God says it matters, and we say it matters as believers. So thanks for calling in, Stephen. Please tune in again for Can We Talk Radio. I have another caller.
Yeah, hello?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Oh, my name is Jerry. I'm calling from Ohio.
Okay. And do you have a question or comment for the panel?
Yeah, the woman seems to have a, I'm sorry for saying woman, it's just I'm not a active listener, you know. So she seems to be a little more, I don't know how to say it, maybe a radical opinion about it than you, or maybe you just don't voice it like her. But mostly to her, I had a question concerning her. I was asking, why, if God is against them, why does He create them like that?
Okay, that question is to who, Alicia?
Yeah, is that her name? I'm sorry. Yeah, Alicia.
Yeah, she's not the woman. Her name is Alicia. Yeah. Okay, Alicia, you have a question from a caller. Did you hear what he said?
Yeah, your question is, if God hates homosexuality, why did God create homosexuals that way? Was that your question?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, to answer your question, one, God, number one, didn't create homosexuals that way. God's not going to create somebody a particular way and then say that that was an abomination to be that way. When God finished creation, He looked at all across the entire creation and said it was good. So in that state of how God created man, He did not create man to be homosexual. Going back to the book of Genesis, it talks about how God created man to be with woman, and He gave Adam, Eve to Adam. And so it shows us that God did not create us that way. So it's not, so I guess to answer your question, the best thing that I could explain would be that God did not create them that way. Also, in addition to that, to say that God hates homosexuals, I don't want anyone to walk away from this show with the understanding that God hates gay people, and that's what we're advocating, because God does not hate gay people. God said, "For I so loved the world that I gave my only son." So I want that to be clear. Nobody on this show is advocating that God hates gay people. It even also talks about in the Word of God that says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when we were helpless to be able to redeem ourselves, God sent His Son for us. So to say that God hates homosexuals is going contrary to the nature of who God is. And it also talks about in the Word of God that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. So it's not God sitting up in heaven saying, I hate those homosexuals. Well, if God were to hate the homosexuals, He would have to hate the people who are fornicating, because both of those are acts outside of the will of God. Basically, it's important for you and anyone else listening to understand that God doesn't hate homosexuals, and God did not create anyone to be a homosexual.
I would like to comment on that. Raz, I can just tell you in a nutshell, it's not that God created homosexuals, fornicators, liars, murderers, child molesters, anything else. The Bible says we were born into sin. And so because sin is in the world and we were born into sin, that's where you get the sin from. God doesn't hate the people. He hates the sin.
Absolutely. Carla, did that clarify the question for you?
Yeah, it did, actually, a whole lot, and I really appreciate it. I also had one more. The views that the Westboro Baptist Church or some other more radical branches. Do you share similar things? Are you opposed or against them, maybe?
I'm sorry, the views of which church now?
Churches like the Westboro Baptist Church, ones like that. I was wondering if you shared similar ideologies with the church in regards of homosexuality and things like that.
And what are their ideologies? Can you explain to us, please?
Oh, just that homosexuality is the damnation of the United States and the world, and everybody's going to be sinners for everybody in the United States are going to be sinners for letting homosexuality happen in the United States and things like that. Like, in their mind, you would be sinner and eternally damned because you don't put a stop to them.
Oh, no. Can I say something to that? Go ahead.
On that, no. Our position is biblical. Our position is biblical. Some people, some churches, some doctrines are teaching that we're perishing because we're allowing wickedness, and you know it's up to the Christians to stand up and pluck out all this wickedness. No, all we're supposed to do is tell the truth, because the salvation and the eternal life doesn't come unless they accept it. We can't force it down their throat. We can't vote it down their throat. We can't threaten other believers to become malicious to other people.
I get it.
And it's not like that. It's not going to be done by force. It's a spiritual problem, so it's not going to be done by force. So no, we don't back up anybody who would try to condemn anyone for any reason, because like Alicia said, the scripture says that the whole world is loved by God and the whole world should receive eternal life. So all we're doing right now is addressing this topic from a biblical perspective, allowing anyone who would lend an ear to hear what the Bible has to say and what true believers have to say, as we're speaking the truth in love, not hate.
Well, have you actually been introduced to they have their own personal Bible. They consider themselves Catholic, the Westboro Baptist Church. I was wondering if you've been introduced to their Bible. Have you seen it?
Why do you keep putting all these lights on? Put some lights out. Hello?
That's a cult.
Well,
that's a clue
that
we're probably dealing with a cult.
Excuse me? No, I was just curious if you've been... if you've seen it before, because they use their own Bible, you know, they interpret it into their own words. They don't take it as God's words. I was just wondering if you've ever seen such a thing before.
Yeah, like that happens in the Mormon Church and the Jehovah's Witness Church. Anybody who comes with a new revised man's interpretation of God's word, most likely you're looking at a cult.
Okay.
Yeah.
You had some good questions.
All right, yeah. I really appreciate you guys answering all these.
Like an interest in the Lord. Like, do you go to church? Are you a Christian? Or what's your position on God?
That's a funny question. I do go to church. I have since I was 12 years old. But I grew up in an atheist family, but they told me that, you know, even though we're atheists, we want to give you the option and the right to choose for yourself. So they let me go to church, and I've been going to church since I was 12. I'm now 16 years old, and I've been going and kind of adapted to it and learning new things every day, and the concept of religion has a really good value to people, I think. I mean, it's a good value to keep up.
Okay. And how do you feel about, did you understand that Lonnie's comments and the comments came from Alicia as far as, I think that what I'm hearing in from today's call is that because we're passionate about what God has said about homosexuality and gay marriage, that we're against and we may hate gays and we're condemning them to hell and damnation, which is not the case. And we said it from the very beginning of the show that we're here to love everybody. We love homosexuals. We love everybody equally because we're all God's children. But at the same time, though, what we're doing is we're we're pretty much just standing up for what God has outlined as his value system. So how do you feel about God's value system? Hearing this conversation, hearing the show so far, what how does that make you feel when you listen to how God feels about this topic?
How do I feel about how God thinks about this topic?
Correct.
Is that what you're asking? Well, I don't think anybody really knows exactly how he feels. I mean, everything that he feels is in the Bible, but as far as what everybody is saying between one another, that's one person's interpretation to another person's interpretation, but the actual facts are right there in the book. It's really just how one person picks it up and broadcasts it to another. At least that's my opinion, though, and that's the great thing about having an opinion is, you know, my opinion is my interpretation.
I got you. Here's the thing. The Bible is not really subject to interpretation. Truth is like absolute. It's not like it's orange one day and then it's like bright pink another day. It's really a lot more truth to it than that, and it should be respected a lot more than that because it's not something you leave up to chance or you leave up to interpretation. And so the thing is, it's either you follow it as truth or you don't. So you and your quest of going to church, doesn't get you into a relationship with God. Being open-minded and having an opinion, you need to allow your opinions and your open-mindedness lead you into an absolute truth because that's what the Bible is. It's not like up to opinion. So this is just a comment for you personally. If you pick up your Bible and read it, and you have a measure of faith and you want to add knowledge to your faith, you want to come into a relationship. The Bible is not about religion. It's about entering eternal life. And so and what I just told you has nothing to do with interpretation or opinion. This is solid, eternal, perpetual from God's word back. So please reexamine what you're doing, you know, because this is not about religion at all.
Absolutely, good point. You know, guys, we'll come to the end of the show. We had this was definitely a hot topic, and we had a few psychos call in and try to disrupt the show. But I want to thank the last caller. He seems to have a genuine interest in some questions and whatnot. So thanks for calling in, and hopefully you can tune in at the same time next week to Can We Talk Radio. I want to really quick, guys, I just want to go down the list of our co-hosts tonight, and really we've got a couple of seconds. So if you can, if you will, Nikki, I want to quickly ask you, what do you think about tonight's show, and what's your final comment?
I thought it was a great show. I think it's, like I said before, a necessary topic that we need to take into consideration and put on the forefront because, I mean, it's something that's right in our face. And so my last comment would be that, once again, true believers need to stand up, have a backbone, speak what's right, get out of that gray area because there's no such gray area when you're serving the Lord. And, you know, and if you're truly... You can't be passé about someone's salvation. And if you know the truth and don't share it, then you're in total violation. That's my thing.
Absolutely. Alicia, you had some very good points today. You did a good job as usual. Alicia, what's your closing comments for tonight's show?
Well, what I would just say is that hopefully anyone who tuned in was enlightened, number one, and definitely challenged to go back to what does the Word of God say, because tonight it wasn't, I would think, anyone's opinion or intention on the panel to present our own personal opinions, but to bring to you biblical scripture. And so I would just encourage people listening, go back, look at the Word for yourself, because ultimately at the end of the day, our heart is to see anyone, be it homosexual, a fornicator, a liar, a thief, whoever you are, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, to come into a relationship with Jesus. So I would just say I pray that people were enlightened by tonight's conversation and heard our heart and what we were saying and not tried to pick apart, you know, this word versus that word and just listen to what was being expressed.
Hey, Ronnie, real quick, so I don't mean to rush you, but we got like 10 seconds. Real quick, what was your final comments for tonight's show?
My final comment is I hope people listen to this, go to the archive, and understand that God loves all people, but all people can't do all things. And so just line up with the Father and know that salvation is an open door.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you so much for tonight's show. I want to thank you to all my co-hosts and panels. And thanks for all the listeners and even the psychos. We love you, too. So Can We Talk Radio, that's what we are. That's what we do. Tune in same time next week. I'm your host, Brad Williams. God bless. Peace.